Round two. All right. I'm literally, I'm so pissed. Like, I've never, I'm just so angry right now. And I don't know why. I maybe it's just some latent anger that I'm taking out on my cat, but damn.
Just spent too much on the McGregor fights?
Yeah. All right, here we go. Welcome to We Are Libertarian. Am I? Yeah. Welcome to... It's happened so many times that I have three recorders running. That's not even a joke. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. Think of us as the love child between National Review and Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us on Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. And we are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. Now, this is normally when I say we catch up for the first 20 minutes or so, but that's not what we're going to do this time. So stay tuned, and I'll explain that. And then, so we're going to dive deep into analyzing current events in society from a libertarian perspective much quicker on Tuesday nights. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is strong and offensive. Joining me tonight is Harry Price. Harry, how are you?
Going good. Feeling pumped, ready for this new show. It should be interesting.
I know. You've cucked Greg and Kat. I have gone black.
Yep. Double cuck. That's a two cuck in a row.
Kill two cucks with one stone.
Yep.
Now here's the deal. Cool. So we put up a Patreon system about 6 days ago, 7 days ago.
Yes, yep.
At this point, and we put up some goals. And at $250, we were going to add a special bonus segment for our subscribers, everybody who's subscribed on patreon.com/WeAreLibertarians. And we did that last week. We blew through that in a day. 24 hours. I thought that would take a couple months. And then at 500, we'd add a second episode per week. We hit that in 6 days. And then at 1500, we're going to build out a studio. And the reason that is important, it is for two reasons. Three. Number one, it allows me to get all of you people out of my house at least twice a week now. And second, it gives us better internet.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, you have been railing against my internet for years.
Yeah, it's awful here. You can't get, you know, if I could get 25, you know, down and up here, it would be a godsend. But no, we're back in 18, which is fast for 2008.
Yeah, we got 18 down and 2 up, and the up is the important part for the live streaming. And so we want to give a better live streaming product, and it'd allow other people to use the studio, and we could make a little money by renting it out. So that is our next goal at 1500, and we thank everybody who's joined. It really has been amazing. And so Harry, the dear leader is a man of his words, if nothing else.
Yeah.
A man of letters and a man of his word. And so you and I talked, and it's not that Greg and Kat don't want to be here.
Right, because they want to be here.
They want to be here. Mm-hmm. And they will on Tuesday nights occasionally. It's just that to do this on a weekly basis is a lot. I mean, we all have full-time jobs, and I'm just more insane than everybody else. And I obviously am the father of We Are Libertarians. So I will be hosting the shows, but doing show prep for Greg, when you know the level of research that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's intense. So I was sitting there thinking, okay, if we do two shows a week, I don't want to bog people's feed down, because the quickest way to lose an audience when we're growing by 1,000 a month is to overwhelm them with content. And I don't want to give people too much, because people already resisted another show just because it's too much. I can't get through the show. I've got other podcasts I want to listen to. And I hear that. But I also think that a second show for us to grow is necessary. And we also have so many people involved in We Are Libertarians here in central Indiana, around 20 people, that, you know, Harry and I have talked about this in the past, that Harry's got things that he wants to talk about.
Right. Yes.
You know, other cast members want to get in on the action. Mm-hmm. And it's hard with one show a week.
Correct. It's hard with one show a week, and when you put on four or five people, you don't get to do that complete deep dive, because Greg does it every week, so you don't want to step on Greg's toes, because, like, you know, Greg's been working on that show all week long, so he's ready to go. He's ready to jump down on something. And also when you wanted to bring up a different topic, I want to go down a different, just a rabbit hole than other people does, or I have a different angle at something than everyone else. And if you have two different people on the show that have no idea, completely idea what the heck you're talking about,
right.
So if you stir down there too much, you know, you just kind of like let them out with no content.
Right. So, yeah, that's... So I looked... You know, Harry is definitely somewhere between a regular castmate and one of the rotating guest hosts. And so it just makes sense that Harry would be my Tuesday night co-host.
Yep.
Ebony and Ivory.
Mm-hmm. Ebony and Ivory Tuesday nights in the Velvet Room.
The audience loves Harry. I love Harry. Harry only mildly annoys me. But listen, that's a compliment, because most people annoy the fuck out of me.
Sweet.
I only had to yell at Harry two times before we started the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what for, but hopefully I didn't hurt your feelings.
Let's see. It was one, I was complaining because you put raw meat on the top of your fridge.
Right.
And I had to talk to you about that. And...
I had to explain to you why.
Why that, you know, that's a food safety concern.
He EPA'd me in my own home, and I just had said, Harry, shut up.
Let's see, and the other one is because I showed up on time for the show.
You showed up 20 minutes early, and you know that I don't like that, because I was studying, I was trying to get things done, and then I've got to entertain, and I was just like, you know what, I hope you got the message that I was reading. I was half paying attention to you, half studying for the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I hope I didn't offend you, but I hope I offended you just a little bit.
No, I showed up on time for the show. I think that's the perfect time to show up.
I'm the one man that has a black friend that shows up on early, 20 minutes early. Meanwhile, I'm 30 minutes late for everything. So think of this as Raw and SmackDown. Now, on Tuesday nights, we're going to record, on Thursday nights, we'll continue to do the exact same thing we have always done. And Tuesday nights, we're going to go back to kind of what we used to do in the very early days of We Are Libertarians. You know, the show has evolved into something much different than what we did 5.5 years ago, as any show will.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday nights will stay exactly the same. But Tuesday nights will be an hour long-ish. We're going to try and stick to an hour. And we're going to try and cover a bunch of different subjects, a bunch of different news topics. You know, for instance, we're going to talk about Houston. We're going to talk about Joel Osteen, North Korea, Storm Warning being closed down, and Ron Paul being demonetized by YouTube. We're going to move quick. We're going to give you facts. And essentially what I want to do with the Tuesday night show that will air Tuesday night for our subscribers, the people that pay for $5 and up on Patreon will get it. As soon as we're done, I will rip it. I will put it up there for you guys, and you'll get it before anybody else. And then Wednesday morning, everybody else will get it. Wednesday morning, afternoonish. And then on Thursday, we will record an episode. Everybody who's a $5 and up subscriber gets the episode Friday. And then everybody else, the rest of you freeloaders, will get the episode Monday morning. And here's why I'm doing that. First off, we got to pay for this thing. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And when I say you listeners that are freeloaders, I mean it. And I appreciate everybody that listens to this show. Everybody is so gracious to us in sharing it. But it does cost about $500 a month to run. And if I have more resources, there's more stuff I can do. There's, for instance, I talked with a digital marketing guy today about building out a quiz that you can share with your friends, and then it will kind of walk them through the steps and help get them more towards libertarianism, more of a, think of like a 21st century version of the world's smallest political quiz.
Mm-hmm.
I need money to do that. I'd love to do a mobile app. I would love to do so many more things to help you spread the word about libertarianism and this podcast, but we need resources to do it. And so the more you invest in us, the more tools I'm going to give you and the more content we're going to give you. And so that's what it's for. And I'm trying to incentivize you to invest in our show by delaying the content a little bit and asking you to join in. For instance, if you're in the nobility, 10 and up, you are watching us on live stream right now, you get it as it's happening and can participate and interact with the host while the show is going on. So that's what we're doing. And this show's going to move quicker. It's going to be, like I said, an hour. It's going to be usually Harry and I, and we're going to do a couple things. First, we're going to give you some headlines that prepare you for that Thursday show. We're going to talk about skim the headlines, give you the basic facts of things so you understand it. So when we go into Thursday's show, we're spending less time on catching you up and more time on the deep dive into stuff that you guys love so much. Second, we're also going to do some interviews here. We Are Libertarians typically has not done a ton of interviews, but I think it's something that you'd like to do, and I don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and Wall has done it in the past. We've had different libertarians on and talked to them, or just different people and aspects, or basically the namesake of the podcast, We Are Libertarians, just interviewing other libertarians, just doing what they're doing best, or just finding libertarians out in the wild.
So if you have a suggestion of who you'd like us to talk to, then please send it into editor@wearelibertarians.com. Interviews and kind of just a skim of the headlines and some things that Harry's interested in. And so congratulations to Harry for being elevated to a part of the cast of We Are Libertarians. Don't let me forget to have you sign the posters. You get to sign the poster. When I told Kat she got to autograph something, her eyes got big as saucers. So yes, we are, and we will also bring in other castmates and kind of rotate it in and keep the same feel, but it's just going to be a little more truncated and a little quicker than the Thursday show.
And I think it'll also be, and once we do get the extra space, that will allow, you know, Dear Lear to be more relaxed, and it'll help everyone else up, because a lot of us will like to show up, you know, on time for things. You know, he can show up when he shows up to the place when he feels
I'm very like, Hollywood, you know that.
You know, the other cool thing I do like about this whole aspect of the thing is that with the new group, you really get to hang out with the fanatics of Wall.
Yeah.
Where it's the people who care, and they care with their dollars, and they care, and they want to see it grow.
Yeah, there's already like
40.
Yeah, there's already like 40 people in that group. It's amazing to me, and it's humbling that we've built something over 5.5 years that so many people have responded to.
So that is.
But again, going back to the old formula, if you listen to the first, 50, our goal was to get done in an hour. We chit chat for about 5-10 minutes at the beginning, and then we did three topics, and that's kind of what we're going to stick to. And so that way, we're not overwhelming you with content, but we're also giving you a little bit extra and kind of going a little deeper. So, yeah. So please partner with us. I'll sound like Joel Osteen here. Partner with us at WeAreLibertarians.com. On the right, there's a Patreon button. And you get all kinds of goodies. Go check it out. So let's get started. Harvey is probably, this is our first story tonight, Harry. Harvey is a massive storm. We are recording this on Tuesday night. It just stopped raining. It made landfall on Friday above Houston and East Texas. And it has dumped 52 inches of rain over the last few days. And it is now, Houston's the fourth largest city.
Right.
I mean, so this is a major metropolis. I think everybody has seen what has gone on. Just to give you a scope of the Harvey, I may say Harry on accident. So please forgive me if I do that. But Texas State climatologist John Nielsen Gammon uses a metric called Mississippi discharge, which is basically how much water discharges. Are you laughing at discharge, Harry?
Yes.
This is supposed to be the professional version of We Are Libertarians. Honestly, I laughed at discharge too. And so he uses a metric that defines a target zone of 20,000 square miles, about the size of West Virginia, and then measures the rainfall rate over a 120-hour period, which is essentially how much the Mississippi River lets out And Hurricane Beulah, 1967, was a 3.4. We are currently at 3.6. The last one, 2001, was Allison at 2.3. So this is the greatest total amount of rainfall in the United States from any single storm, at least during the last 120 years.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's Tropical Storm Allison, which hit the same region, essentially, was... the costliest tropical storm in history at $5 billion in damages. This will far surpass it.
It was an incredibly intense. Myself and the hundreds to 200,000 of people that were watching all the Facebook live streams watching this hurricane.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, if you got on like the Facebook Live, you could get on the map and go into people's live stream in Houston, have people trying to just go through it. I was watching this guy named Joe go through it. He was a storm chaser out there in the Houston area, and he was describing and watching the storm come in at the car wash and, you know, hashtag blue shed. as everyone just watches blue shed just survive everything around. It was really weird to watch trees, this whole like roof start caving in, but this blue shed was just sitting there through it all, just triumphantly, like, meh. Makes you wonder who built it. You probably some redneck that overly like put so many screws and used so much wood in this thing.
This is gonna last a 1 in 1,000 year storm.
Yeah, it's probably the only thing there now. That's what the rain gone into. But yeah, the hurricane itself was intense, and it kind of just sat there offshore and onshore, so it wasn't really like dissipate, because usually hurricanes lose power once they come onshore, but right. This thing kept was half on, half off, and just stayed there for a while, just started moving very slowly, kept picking up more and more steam, picking up more water, and just kept dumping it on Houston.
Yeah, so normally when it dissipates when it hits land, but there was a pressure system to the northwest, and it kept it locked in place, and that's what happened with Katrina. The thing with Katrina is that, yes, it was a powerful storm like Harvey, but it stayed locked in place and kept dumping water and overwhelmed the levees, and that's what's happening. As right before we went on air, we were watching CNN, and reservoirs and levees were starting to break, and local officials were tweeting out like these really like crazy in red images saying run. It was really kind of really scary. I mean, this was a category 4 with 130-mile-an-hour wind, so it was a very powerful storm, but yeah, it's that it got stuck in that one spot that it produced all this.
Yep. Well, it's just preventing the eye from actually getting on the storm, so that a lot of things were just damaged from the get-go before like there's everything, so before Saturday even hit. So when Saturday hit, it just started raining and kept raining and just kept raining. And well over 30 inches in some spots.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's 50 inches. I mean, every part of the county that comprises Houston. So like Allison was that damaging storm that we talked about. There were only like several low spots in that county that got 25 inches of rain. The entire county got 25 inches of rain at almost every spot of Houston. I mean, it's a tragedy, not in the sense that a lot of people lost their lives. I mean, less people so far have lost their lives than, you know, Katrina, which was 5,000. Is that right? I think it was more than 9/11. Maybe it was 1,800.
It was close. No, it didn't hit 9/11 levels, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it was 1,800.
Not from the storm itself, yeah. If you added in like other things that's happened afterwards and related, I think it got really close, but not because of the storm.
And I have to think about all those people, because if you remember during Katrina, everybody fled to Houston and set up new lives in Houston. And it just,
It hit him again.
It's part of why Houston has grown so quickly, is so many New Orleans transplants ended up there. And now it's just like, I feel it's a tragedy in the sense that so many people have lost so much. I mean, you think about a region. I remember a really bad storm here in Indiana, and the street got flooded and the water started coming up towards the house. And panicking, like, because it was just, because it's that helpless feeling of there's no way to stop it. There's nothing I can do. It's going to ruin everything that we own. Mm-hmm. It could, we could drown. I mean, obviously, I wasn't afraid of drowning in that situation. But in this situation, it's really easy to do. I mean, it's a very frightening situation.
Yeah, because you lose everything. You're like, if your car goes underwater, it's not going to really start again. If it's never going to really run again, you'll get water in so many different electronics. Your car is basically done.
Right.
It goes to your house. Your car, everything in your house is done. And if you don't have the proper like insurance, nothing's going to be covered.
Yeah.
You're just out. You know, so it's so it. A lot of these people are having to. They've already had to start over because they didn't have flood insurance from like New Orleans. They're also going to have to do it again when it comes here to Houston. I've got my wife and I have friends down there, and they're sitting there. The water's up to their second level apartment. So they're on like a second level, and the water's up there. You can hit the stairs. There's water,
and
the
foundation of what's below them is wrecked.
Wasn't meant to be underwater. Yeah,
right.
And none of that was meant to be underwater, and it is. So we're talking about all the cars. The biggest worry you've also got to worry about is the effects of, this is going to happen afterwards, but this happened really much in Katrina, of like scumbags buying the cars that have flooded down there, fixing them up and selling up everywhere else in the country.
Oh, wow.
So it's...
Hey, if you're a scumbag out there, lots of opportunity.
It's really cool. If you're just looking for a frame of a car, it'll probably tons of good rolling frames down there. You just put them through the rest of it.
I think I was a surprise to me to learn that Houston is the fourth largest city. I mean, and so you talk about the entire city is flooded. I mean, so Weatherbell reports that as of Monday afternoon, around 14 trillion to 15 trillion gallons of water and five more to go had fallen in Houston. So, yeah.
And trying to displace that. So like most city services don't work there. And if you could get the water, it's all polluted. It's coming out of the drain. You've got to boil it, but with what electricity, and most people are stuck in the city, so they don't really have any camping gear or stuff like that to really survive that type of stuff.
So one of the reasons that it's so prone to this type of flooding, the reason that this is so catastrophic, we cannot blame
them. That's true.
You can blame the government, and you can say, yes, the government didn't do that. Like with the Army Corps of Engineers, for instance, in Katrina, yes, there were a lot of failures, and there were a lot of things that they could have done differently. But ultimately, when you have a storm that's just... They're thinking that this is a 1-in-1,000-year flood, which we'll explain in a second. Essentially, let me explain it now. 1-in-1,000-year flood or 1-in-500-year flood, it doesn't mean years. Like, we don't have dates going back to AD 1017 saying, oh, there's a horrible flood back then. No, what that means is that it's a 1-in-1,000 chance that a storm like this could hit. I mean, that's a very... So the odds are that 1-in-500 that you could get a storm like this. So it's very rare. So that's how insurance adjusters measure it, but they don't measure it in years, okay? They measure it in odds. And this is just a freak act of nature. I mean, this getting locked in place and dumping that much rain, there is no city on the face of the earth that is prepared for this.
Yeah.
And Houston was especially susceptible to it because it's flat. So this is Houston is a flat city like a pancake, and the water just has nowhere to go. If it's not tilted, it's not draining out. And secondly is the building practices of Houston. So did you ever see Tremé on HBO?
No.
Okay, sorry. So Tremé is a great show. It's by David Simon, who did The Wire and Homicide: Life on the Street. And it's about New Orleans after Katrina, the year after Katrina. And it's kind of about the rebuilding of the city. And there's this one, you know, mover and shaker who tries to get into ripping off the government for building contracts. And he ends up in Houston because he figures out that in Houston, he can make way more money because there's no it's the Wild West of building permits, and you can pay anybody off, and it was rapidly expanding. There's no income tax there, and so Houston was just this massive buildup. So instead of rebuilding New Orleans, he ended up going to Houston and helping all the people who left New Orleans build there. And so what ended up happening with some of that is that ended up hurting Houston in this situation, because that low density development over that large area, it ended up decreasing the drainage capacity and building practices. Like, drainage didn't keep up. Essentially, from Vox, we've had a lot of early on development in the 60s, 70s, 80s that created this rampant urban expansion. Drainage didn't keep up. It's a developer-run community and city. This means concrete has gotten priority over maintaining green space where vegetation and soil can soak up the water like a sponge. And This from ProPublica. In a 2016 investigation, as millions have flocked to the metropolis area in recent decades, local officials have largely snubbed stricter building regulations allowing developers to pave over crucial acres of prairie land that once absorbed huge amounts of rainwater. This has led to an excess of floodwater during storms that chokes the vast buoy network. So it's a freak thing, but it also could have there could have been less damage had they had a little more thought into what they were doing. They overbuilt the city.
Unlike because Indianapolis gets lucky because of all the rivers and creeks around it, because Indianapolis is almost kind of the same way when they started building everything through UNIGOV.
Right.
You know, they just kept building crap. But so there's more, so there's no green spaces forever there. They built too much. So the water really has nowhere to drain or anywhere to go. But what I wanted to get to it was, sorry, but reading this funny comment from Rick kind of just threw me off. Just said, build the, you know, Rick got this comment on it, says like, follow the Ewoks and build in the trees in the comment section. It's like, yeah, I don't think there's enough trees in there. So like, yeah, so the developers have gone through there. They've gone through the city. They develop everything. They've got over there. So the water really has nowhere to go. And they basically have the drainage kind of like drainage problems just like Indianapolis, but we've won through it because we've got all these rivers and creeks.
Right.
Yes.
Sorry, my mic was off, so I didn't rustle the papers too much.
Okay.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, there's, even though we are not for central planning, there does have to be some common sense. I mean, there, if you get rid of all the things, it's like why we have wildfires. Wildfires are naturally occurring, and when environmentalists don't let us clear out the brush, wildfires get worse because nature just will naturally clear out the brush with fires.
Correct. Yeah, they'll clear out the brush, or if the trees are too close together.
Right.
You know, that's most logger or the most tree or paper companies. That's, they make sure they cut enough trees down and keep the trees separated. So when those wildfires happening, the tree farms, they're fine because they've got so much gap inside in front of them.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Privately owned tree farms.
Right. who will grow the trees?
Yeah.
So the other thing that's been discussed in this is evacuation.
Oof.
Which I went into a libertarian rage as I was watching CNN today, and they were like, did the mayor of Houston make the right call in not having people evacuate? And I'm sitting there thinking, if a hurricane is headed to me, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not attached to my stuff to the point that, like, I wouldn't, I don't know. I mean, my grandparents went through a hurricane, they stayed. I don't know that I would have. I would have gotten the heck out of there. But, you know, it's whether the city tells you to leave or not, you should do what's in your best interest. You should stay if you want to stay. Like, it's, to me, the idea that, like, it's a debate point whether or not the government is controlling your behavior is so irritating to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also that people were waiting for that call. For most people, you would expect people who live in Tornado Alley would understand, like, man, if I could know a tornado's coming, I'm getting the heck out of here.
Right.
You know? Or I've seen the devastation that happened in Katrina, saw the devastation that happens in Florida on the regular. You know, they're like, well, you know, Florida just kind of like, you know, stays to it. Yeah, but they're different circumstances than you are. Me personally, I'd get out. My flight or flight response is always like, I'm flying, I'm getting the heck out of here. I'm loading my car up with
a lot of water, Harry. You're not sticking around.
I can't swim, so I'm loading the car up with everything I got.
I've seen Harry in the deep end. You know? He's got to go.
And I'm getting the heck out of here.
Drive.
But the other response to that is that in some areas, not all, in some areas, they weren't allowing people on the roads either.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of people were stuck. But that was mostly when it got... It started to happen,
right.
You know. They waited too late. It was that, you know, that person that waited the last minute to decide they wanted to leave. That was the biggest issue with that one. But everyone knew this hurricane was happening. Everyone saw that. It's just no one knew it was going to be this bad.
Yeah, no one knew that it was going to be like this. And to defend Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner, he said, if you think the situation right now is bad and you give an order to evacuate, you are creating a nightmare. This nightmare comes from experience. In 2005, Vox writes, Houston issued an evacuation order for 2.5 million people for Hurricane Rita. It was chaotic. More than 100 people died while evacuating. People were stuck on the roadways for days. And essentially, the interstate system in Houston, because of, you know, how flat it is, like we said, the interstates and the roadways are designed to help move the water along, essentially, like rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see all these photos of Houston and you see how much water there is. Well, imagine if it was filled with cars, because you didn't have more than a few days notice, much less than you normally did. Nobody knew it was going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send people out into the roads and they get stuck on the roads for days and then they get flooded, there's not resources out beyond the city.
Right.
And so you keep them in the city because then you have more resources, you have a higher concentration of people who have boats, and you're able to control the situation a little bit more in this. And
there's supplies at their houses. There's food at their houses.
Exactly,
there's canned food. You know, there's enough of them there. You're not going to have that. No one's going to think they're like, majority of the people do not have a bug out bag in their house for floods or whatnot. No, most people don't. Like, if they had to leave right now and grab one thing out of their house, they probably do not have a bag with 2 weeks worth of food in it. And filters and water filters and stuff.
Water filters on their faucets, right, Harry?
Yeah, water filter in the faucet, shower. You know, I'm almost as close. I almost accidentally put a water filter on my toilet. You know, make sure. You know.
Just in case there's some splash up. You don't want some fluoride in your asshole.
Yeah, I actually almost did that in an accident. I was downstairs in the basement putting a filter on it. I almost grabbed the water line going to the toilet.
You tried to pitch before the show a conspiracy show with you and Galt, and I quashed that. And I was like, listen, we can entertain them occasionally and debunk them on the show here, but once you have a conspiracy show on your network, you're in Alex Jones territory, and you were very offended by that.
Yeah, very. I just got the documents, and I just want to release them. But also with the cars on the road, it also becomes a very dangerous situation, right? Because regardless of what you see in the movies, cars don't sink that fast. When you see a car sink really fast in movies, there's so much concrete in the gas tank.
Yeah.
There's so many holes drilled in the thing. Cars float. Not for long, but they float until they fill up with water. Your tires, guess what they're filled with? Air.
Right. Well, we just saw, of the 9 people that have died, 6 of them were in one family.
Mm-hmm.
It was two 80-year-olds and then 3 preteens. Mm-hmm. Who were washed in another teenager who were washed away. They were trying to drive. They ended up getting swamped by flood waters.
Mm-hmm.
The driver ended up living. He was the older uncle, and he survived, but the other 6 drowned because they were trying to escape too late. Mm-hmm. And got caught in the flood waters. And I mean, when you have these flash floods, this is not something.
Yeah, they happen.
Yeah,
when Adam Flash.
When I the strongest person I've ever known was a man named Adam Fuller, and Adam was a classmate of mine. And Adam was inducted. He was allowed to go to the World's Strongest Man competition when we were 18 in the junior division.
Oh wow!
This dude was jacked. Like, he was enormous, and I had a bunch of college classes with him. Adam was he one time hit me. In football, he took my face mask, grabbed it, and then headbutted me, and I passed out because he hit me so hard, which is probably where the brain damage comes from, honestly. Mm-hmm. But this guy, I'm not joking, was probably 260 of pure muscle and 6'1", just a big dude. And he died in the White River a few years ago. Well, the White River is pretty tame here in Indianapolis. And he was fishing, and he got his foot caught in a log, and then then a flash flood happened, and then he drowned as he was fishing. And I just thought to myself, the power of water is amazing. Here's a man who was the strongest person I have ever met, who it would have been no problem to lift a log, and he couldn't get out, and he passed away, you know? So it's you have to be really careful about what you do, and I understand the people who stay. I mean, I get that why you'd want to stay, because it's safer where you can, you know, your environment, and you can control your environment and mm-hmm. and deal with the situation as it arises. The worst that can happen is that you have to get on your roof,
right?
You know, and then wait for the helicopter. Mm-hmm. So,
which you could still, like, if you want, you could sit there, take a, you know, scuba dip into your,
right.
Back in your kitchen, grab some cans, get back on the roof.
Right.
You know, you could start a small fire on your roof. Who cares? Right. Your house is destroyed.
Me and Muffins, because Mittens is staying underwater because she's on my nerves today. She's locked in the bedroom because this is the second time we had to start the show. She pissed me off. So last night I'm on Twitter, or actually it was yesterday afternoon. I was at work and I was going on to the work Twitter to tweet something. And I saw that Joel Osteen was a trending topic. And I thought, well, that's weird. And so I clicked on it, and it was nothing but hate towards Houston pastor Joel Osteen. Now, Osteen runs the largest church in America, and he has the old Houston Rockets Stadium, and it's a 16,000-seat church. It is absolutely massive, and he's basically your... He preaches the secret and motivational that he does really like biblical gospel. Like, he's not a Benny Hinn type. He's not even, I wouldn't classify him as a prosperity speak. Like, Greg and I love him. You listen to Joel Osteen and you feel happy and you feel confident and you feel ready to take on the world. And he's just not like a, he's just like a motivational speaker more than anything else. And he's taken a bunch of shit because he has, people just assumed that he, because he wasn't doing anything, he had closed his doors. Well, none of that was true. And everybody started freaking out on social media. Every anti-Christian and every liberal Christian with an axe to grind started tweeting about this and making it a big deal. And to me, it is the greatest example of, why don't you take the plank out of your own eye and stop looking at his splinter? Because I would guess that if every one of these people who took time out of their day to bash Joel Osteen over an absolute non-story had donated a case of water, the problem would be solved in terms of drinking water in Houston for the next 6 years. And he, so here's what really happened, Harry.
Okay,
let's talk about what happened, and then we'll talk about why it annoyed us both.
Correct, yes.
All right, yeah. So essentially, Osteen, according to his father-in-law, who is the spokesperson, Donald Iloff, and he's the church spokesman, and he says, "We never closed our doors. We will continue to be a distribution center for those in need. We are prepared to shelter people once the cities and county shelters reach capacity. Lakewood will be a value to the community in the aftermath in helping our fellow citizens rebuild their lives." Photos provided by the church show standing water in the hallways and parking lot. The church already had a flood wall in place after a previous storm. The church, which occupies the former home of the Rockets, will now be used as a donation center and scheduled to open around noon today. At least several hundred people can be housed on the second floor of the church. The area around the church flooded on Monday, and at least three people came to the church for help before they were taken to the convention center, where they had resources and staffing set up to take care of these people. It was about 2 miles away. Houston officials continue to field calls, and then they kind of talk about it. And so I went to Christian Post, which is a Christian news website, sort of, and Christianity Today.
Christianity Cancer.
What is this?
Christianity Cancer.
Okay. So let's see here. And they had a story about the. It was, which is this? This is Christian Post, had a story about the members of the church staff that were stranded. And at least, they write, at least three staff members at Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church in Houston had to be rescued from their homes, while several others experienced flooding due to the impact of Hurricane Harvey. Trevor and Amy McDonald, who run Lakewood's high school ministry, were among the Lakewood staffers who were in need of being rescued. The very first rescue... the spokesperson, Iloff, says, "The very first rescue I heard of was staff members rescuing other staff members, recalling the Collins rescuing the McDonalds, who have two young children. They were up to their waist in water. Another staff member got within 2 miles, had a boat, and took the boat into where they were, and got them in the boat and took them home." And so what was going on at the church and in preparation of the storm? Iloff said that there are currently about 8 maintenance personnel inside the church who have been instructed to let in anyone into the church who needs shelter, but to Iloff's knowledge, no one has come to the church seeking shelter. Now, that in an updated story, we said 2 people did, and then they were taken to the Brown Center. They would have to swim to get there, he explained, adding that there's a flood shelter set up a couple miles down the road. Iloff stated that not only will Lakewood's own missions program be engaging in providing aid and rebuilding homes in the Houston area for years to come, but Lakewood will also partner with Samaritan's Purse, which was set up by Billy Graham's son to help in aid efforts. It's sort of a Christian Red Cross. And so you can sit there and say that how dare this rich man not help people, but they had 8 staff members as of Monday. They didn't have anybody there over the weekend, it sounds like. Maybe they had 1 person there. So they had no resources. They had no staff members. They had no one to help. Right. Nobody could get there if they wanted to. There was a shelter that was fully equipped by the Red Cross and the city and county and state down the road, ready to take people and help people. And now they can. Now they're bringing in beds. Now they can have 200 people upstairs. But at the time everybody was making the criticisms, there wasn't... It would be like the Superdome all over again.
Correct, yes. Yeah. There was no staff there, no resources, just having people come just to a building that supposedly was dry. It would make no sense.
Right.
And that's... And there's all these stupid liberal idiots online like posting these videos. Looks dry to me, but they're all posting like videos on Monday after someone has taken efforts to dry things out so people could even get there. And even if they got there, if they didn't have the resources for security, food, water, then it's just a dry place to go.
Yeah, and it does nobody any good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just the classic example of people wanting to politicize something, having a knee-jerk reaction because everybody else is saying something,
mm-hmm.
and knowing nothing of what they're talking about.
Yeah, and they were, and that whole community was doing stuff behind the scenes to get that place ready, so when people did go there, they have a plan in place, and it would actually work and function and not turn into the super, or the gigantic, or become the rape church.
The rape church, yes.
You know? And all those people are like, well, what is Harry talking about? Look what happened at the Superdome in Katrina. There was, like, little girls getting raped in the bathrooms there because
everyone was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible.
No security. It was just a dry place.
Yeah, it was just a dry place that they told everyone to go to. And a lot of people have got sick and possibly, you know, have medical conditions just from going to the Superdome that day. Yeah.
So
it was awful. Because you can't have that many humans there to be able to, like, if there's no running water or place to put poop and pee, you know, the diseases are going to start. It's going to start quick.
And it's the same people who worship the altar of the state, mm-hmm. and sit there and go, post memes on my wall saying, you know, what would you do without socialism now, libertarian? You know, it's the same people who love and worship the state, but then want to send people to a church that's ill-equipped, mm-hmm. instead of to the state-run facility that is coordinating all the rescue and recovery. It's you look like a complete idiot if you're posting that shit.
Yeah,
you should seriously just go back on your wall, delete it, and hope that no one ever saw you post something so stupid.
Yep.
You can take your anti-Christian bullshit, and it makes you look dumb instead of actually taking some time to wait for a comment. Nobody, when Raw Story, that beacon of journalism yesterday, blew this out of proportion and started reposting tweets and wrote a quote-unquote journalistic story about how his church wasn't open. It had zero response from the church. Nobody, they didn't even say we tried to contact the church. Mm-hmm. And it just was the perfect example that John Ronson wrote in a book about So You've Been Publicly Shamed, where Jennifer Sacco was on the plane to Africa and basically was like, I hope I don't get AIDS in Africa. And by the time she landed, she was an international, you know, disgrace and was shamed. And and it's just...
Lost her job. People met her at the airport, getting coming after her for that crap. Yeah.
And so John Ronson basically wrote this book about it. And the guy who wrote it, that article for Gawker, and put that tweet out there and said, look at this woman. Like, these clickbait sites like Raw Story and HuffPo and Gawker, thank God they're out of business.
Yes, okay.
Like, they don't think about the power that they have, and instead of actually, like, calling the church and saying, hey, what's up, They don't want to do that because they're a liberal website that wants to make them look bad and grind an axe, and they don't care that they look like complete idiots, right. And they make their readers look like idiots when they retweet that shit.
Yeah, it's part of the self-defense of reading articles off on websites.
Yeah,
is that you wait a day, look at that article again,
right.
See if other people posted, see what their sources are. Just like the guy who got attacked for the Nazi haircut. Turns out, oh, guess what? It wasn't a case. Wasn't attacked for the haircut. He was just playing around with a knife.
Right.
You know, so many different clickbaity sites posted this thing about that on the right, going like, haha, look how evil they are. Ignoring like the real evils and stuff that Antifa does to actually attack people, but right. Went after this guy because it was haircut, because it was nice and clicky. And then turns out this guy was, you know, he was just playing around with a knife, just an idiot. I've had guys sit there play with my knives in my house. And
we'll update you. I just want to give people a quick North Korea update, and then we'll get kind of back to this subject, because we're going to talk about the storm warning getting closed down. The Nazi website gets killed off by GoDaddy. But North Korea launched a missile over Japan, and yesterday the missile flew over northern Japanese island of Hokkaido at 6 a.m. local Japanese time, according to NHK, the Japanese state broadcaster, landing in the waters about 733 miles east of Hokkaido's Cape Imaro. And the launch prompted Japanese officials to issue a warning asking citizens to evacuate to a sturdy building or basement, because that will help with the nuclear weapon. The Pentagon had confirmed the launch. So it went pretty far out over Japan, but still provocation nonetheless. And this is a continuation. You sent a great article that we're not going to really dive into, but if you want to really get a deep dive into North Korea and the strategy behind all this, go to antiwar.com, and this was posted on 8/28, and it's by Gareth Porter, actually posted on August 29. Can the U.S. and North Korea move from threats to negotiations? And this was a great, great several-page article that really breaks down everything that's going on. And I'll just read you a couple pieces so you can get a feel for how good this article is. But a closer review of the escalation of the conflict reveals that both sides are consciously maneuvering for what they know will be extended serious negotiations on a new framework for peace on the Korean Peninsula. The Trump administration is well aware that it has no real military options against North Korea, and Kim Jong-un regime seems to have sought to use missile launches as signals to the Trump administration to convey not only North Korea's determination not to give in to pressure, but also its hopes to stabilize the situation and to avoid further escalation in the U.S.-North Korea military relations. Those military options preceded the new administration. In mid-2015, there was a paragraph in between there that I skipped, sorry. After a series of North Korean nuclear tests between 06 and 13, the U.S. military and South Korean military both adopted a new war plan for the Korean Peninsula, O-Plan, O-P-L-A-N, 5015. The plan called for surgical strikes on North Korea's nuclear missile sites and command and control facilities, as well as quote-unquote decapitation raids by special forces to take out senior leaders. And then the article goes on to kind of go into more detail about that, which I highly recommend that article. I thought that was a really great find, Harry.
Yes, yeah. Antiwar.com is where I go to get my non-Greg-related like foreign or like war different articles like
what
that.
What are you saying here?
it's really cool, really cool. If you can't get a hold of Greg, it's the website I go to, and also the other basis of why I would like the Tuesday show to do interviews, because to get someone from antiwar.com like Scott Horton on here, who he has talked on Twitter about, like, wouldn't mind coming on We Are Libertarians.
I'd love talk to have Scott on, yeah.
Yeah, you get Scott Horton on here to talk with Greg, to watch those two go at it over something that's going to be great.
And I'll put these in between us, because we're any final thoughts on North Korea?
One thing I do is, like, if you actually do get to read, if you start jumping into the rabbit hole, which is North Korea, you will find out that a lot of Kim Jong-un is he's not illogical. He's very logical. You have to also understand he's a much of a prisoner than everyone else is around him, because there is no end game from him other than going out in a box. So everything he's doing is keeping himself alive and none in a box. So just remember that. Those are his plans, because a coup, he's dead. U.S. comes in, he's dead. China comes in, he's dead. So he's doing everything to make sure he holds in his power and make sure those small little coups don't happen. Because it's there's, like I said, the with everything going on in that country, he's doing everything he can to hold on to power and has made sure that he will still stay in power. Like, he killed off his other brother to make sure that, so he knows he's the only one in line, that he's the only one that can run the country up until he has a son. So we'll just find out. But that's it for North Korea that I have.
Right.
It's like I said, it's, I'm trying to gloss over everything without trying to, like, all right, here's the next 2 hours topic we're gonna jump into.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about North Korea, and this is just, I think people need to know that this happened and explain what happened and check out this article. But it's kind of like we've talked a lot about it and there's not much update here.
Right. Yeah, because peace can happen. It can this can happen. It can work. But you just got to make sure Kim the Kim family, Kim, understands that he can get out of this without going into a box.
Right.
You know, because to him and his mentality, that's the only way out. The US comes in, they kill me. China comes in, they kill me. Putin comes in, I hope he kills me.
Right.
If you're lucky, if Russia comes in, keep Putin and keep Kim in you know, in power as a puppet.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, that's here and there. All right, so you want to move to the next one?
All right, let's go on to this I hadn't heard about until I heard it on Twit with Leo Laporte, and which is a tech network that's awesome.
I know you listen to Twit.
I love Twit. I listen to the Google show and the Mac show all the time. So.
Oh.
Oh, what? Am I supposed to listen to the security show?
Stupid Steve Gibson. Woo! All right.
Oh, you fucking nerd. I swear to God. So this is we're dipping deep into Harry territory here in the last 10-15 minutes. GoDaddy, then Google, banned neo-Nazi site The Daily Stormer for disparaging Charlottesville victim. I think The Daily Stormer is like the big site.
Yeah,
like that's where all the Nazis go. Yeah. Like that's their HuffPo.
Yeah, that's their their HuffPo.
Like if you're a Nazi, then like that's your Libertarian Republic. So the infamous neo-Nazi website has been evicted. This is from Washington Post. The web hosting company GoDaddy, which has been criticized for months for hosting The Daily Stormer, announced late Sunday that they have 24 hours to move their domain to another provider, as they have violated our terms of service. Then the site basically went down. The site was back online Monday afternoon with a triumphant blaming hackers for a brief disruption. Hackers or not, Stormer also had a new web host, Google, which promptly announced that it, too, would be kicking the neo-Nazis out. And they're canceling, they had registered with Google domains, and they canceled that as well. I believe that I heard on this that Cloudflare, which provides security for WeareLibertarians.com through the great Bluehost, which I love and use all the time. Mm-hmm. James Nee said, I'm not reading off of anything. These are blank pages. I'm making all of this up. so just shuffling. So essentially the... what was I saying? Oh, so that Cloudflare was basically, they basically said, we're still going to protect them from DDoS attacks.
Correct.
Which is what? Explain that to, I know what it is. Okay. Harry, you know that I know what that is. But explain it to me as if I were a baby.
DDoS, or distributive denial of service attack. It's when you basically... The easiest way is to take it, if you take a bunch of different nodes that are connected to the net and flood something else with traffic.
Baby.
So basically, let's say I've got a lot of laptops, right?
Right.
And they're all going to try to get onto one side at one time.
Let's say I have hacked into your computer or your refrigerator that is connected to the internet. I use all those to essentially start attacking a website.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. That's where most people use the technical way people mostly use it for DDoS attacks is they use bots to use it to flood something with traffic. That's how they do. And once they flooded your network with traffic, you get knocked offline. It's just something that happens. It happens naturally when people just go to your site for some other reason. But this is done in malice.
Yeah,
people wanting to take you down.
We got linked to the Blaze, Daily Caller, and a couple other, and the HuffPo in 2013 because of a Ron Paul interview that we did. It had 113,000 downloads last time I looked a month ago. Mm-hmm. And basically, here James Neese explains it. It's like your website is a 1010 cutie pie, and people get so mad they flood her with like a million dick pics until she's forced to log off Instagram for the night, and, which is exactly what it is. And so our site went down because we couldn't handle the traffic that got sent our way.
Yep.
Thanks to Bluehost and thanks to your donations, we now can.
Yeah, yeah.
We can handle it because we've been able to upgrade all that stuff.
And you too can help stop DDoS attacks by stop buying Internet of Things devices. This is going out to you, Dakota. Internet of Things devices are cancer. They're awful. There's terrible things on the internet. Everything does not need to connect to the internet. Stop it.
I'm with you. I don't need a smart refrigerator.
Yes. I don't need a smart toaster. I don't need a smart TV. I don't want a smart TV.
I don't need a smart wife.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding.
She doesn't need to be on the internet. Oh, she needs to be in the kitchen. Oh, no.
So... Cloudflare did the opposite of what GoDaddy did, and they basically said, listen, you wouldn't tell the electric company or the water company to stop service to somebody just because you disagree with them politically. And so we at Cloudflare, while we vehemently disagree, we view ourselves as a utility, and we're going to keep protecting them because if we don't protect them and they're on a shared server, it could take down other sites and infect other sites, and that's not fair to those people just because they share a server that shares, you know, with Nazi sympathy, which makes total sense to me and is a very nuanced, thought out, well-reasoned explanation that nobody will give a shit about because it's Twitter and we're all mad.
Yep. Cue liberal screeching, yeah. Because, well, one, Cloudflare has protected worse. People who actually have attacked people, so they've protected worse. But they did, like, do some staunch different things on it because they, in the past, they have used different tactics like this, or the people will use this stuff like that to go after website with different wrong think and try to kick them offline so their wrong think doesn't get out there in the world. And
right.
And you know, that's, you know, that same tired adage that everyone's like, at first it came for this and I wasn't them, so I had to shut the heck up. Well, it's the same thing. They and this has been this huge slow progression over the year, and if you've been on the internet long enough, you've watched it. You've watched the, you know, federal government go after cam girls so they can't use banks. You've gone after music sharing websites. So there's slowly creep of the government inside of things. So it also got the ISPs and different server hosts. They're kind of scared that they make be come after by the government, so I can understand them wanting to drop them off there.
Right.
You know, because it may get just pressure from the FBI, like, wow, you got, you know, oh, you've got, you know, the whatever that site's called on your servers. Cool, we want in. We right. want to see it. But I don't want you in. Too bad, I'm in.
Right.
You
know?
But the other thing is, too, is that GoDaddy and all those places, they own the servers. They can choose, they can associate which website they want to associate where
Absolutely.
They want to. Google is not the only DNS, and it's not the only search engine out there in the world. It's one of the most popular and one of the largest, but it is not the only one out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
This whole article talking about them going under and going into the dark web, but you know, that just means that the search engines just aren't picking them up. Because if you want to host a website, you just need ability to connect to the internet and allow people to connect to your server, and ta-da, you're online. People can get to that thing. That's how the web was.
I would think that Nazis would have a good networking guy that they could build their own server and host their own website.
You know, real German Nazis would have been off anyways.
They would have invented the server.
Yeah.
And this kind of, and I want to talk about Ron Paul too, because it kind of fits into these big services are starting to demonetize mm-hmm. a lot of these, and we've got few different articles here, but YouTube is now demonetizing videos. This is from the Daily Caller. From content creators deemed too controversial for the platform, and conservatives and independents are being heavily impacted.
Yep.
The move follows YouTube's announcement earlier in August to catch and flag controversial religious and supremacist content hosted on popular video website hosting. Now, I will say that We Are Libertarians post to YouTube. We post the video of all these episodes, as well as clips occasionally. And we've had several of our videos out of the 500 videos that we've got up there have been flagged and unmonetized. Because we were having a discussion about white supremacists, and it had, you know, Klansmen or whatever, and they didn't listen or watch the content where we were saying that stuff is bad. They just demonetized the video because of bots, because of AI scanning this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, I could go back and I could appeal that, but if I do that too many times, then we get on their bad side and they have us by the balls, because YouTube's the world's second largest search engine. And I depend on it for discovery. Now, we've only made like $17. You got to watch the videos all the way to the end for the creator to actually get the money, by the way.
Yep.
Unless
you're YouTube red.
Right. And so we've only made $17. So it's not like it's an income stream for us. Yep. Unlike Patreon at wearelibertarians.com on the right-hand sidebar. But It is scary when you have somebody with the power of Google and the power of the platform of YouTube starting to shut people down.
Yeah. Now, granted, it's their property. They can do what they want. They can shut people down from another time. And Google has been known, Google who owns YouTube, and Alphabet who owns Google owns YouTube. So Alpha Goog Tube. Sorry, I cracked myself up with my own acronym. All right, so so they basically created that platform so everyone likes to go there for video content. When people look for videos online, when you say like, hey, there's video out there, just like to say, hey, just go Google it, people just go to YouTube. They're going to go to YouTube and go view this content, video content. So for the last about year and a half, YouTube has been going after independent media and people who have the different think than they do for a while, demonetizing their videos. Make sure your search engines you don't pick up. You will never trend, no matter what you do. There's been several different right wing podcasts that have been on YouTube where they can do this video, they can get up to 500,000 views on it, but they will never hit trending. But Cenk Uygur, you know, with 12,000 views from a crappy iPhone video, he'll be on trending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
because Cenk is a YouTube partner. He's correct think.
And that's what it is. So this is from Zero Hedge. The headline, YouTube economically censors Ron Paul, labels videos not suitable for all advertisers. Congressman Ron Paul has joined a growing list of independent political journalists and commentators who's being economically punished by YouTube, despite producing videos that routinely receive hundreds of thousands of views. I don't think that any of us would call Ron Paul offensive or not suitable for most advertisers.
Yeah.
In a tweet published Saturday, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange tweeted a screenshot of Paul's Liberty Report page showing that his videos had been labeled not suitable for all advertisers by the content arbitrators. Assange claims that Paul was being punished for speaking out about Donald Trump's decision to increase the number of troops in Afghanistan. I don't know that I buy that,
either.
The reason. The notion that YouTube would want to economically punish a former U.S. congressman for sharing his views on U.S. foreign policy, a topic that he is unequivocally qualified to speak about, is absurd. Furthermore, the review requested marking on one of Paul's videos reveals that they were initially flagged by users before YouTube moderators confirmed that the video was unsuitable for a broad audience.
Yep.
Other political commentators who have been censored include Paul Joseph Watson, who is the British guy on the Alex Jones show, and Tim Black. I've never heard of him.
Yep.
Is he one of yours?
No, I don't listen to Tim Black. I know who he is, though.
I mean Black and Yellow. I don't mean, you know, Black. Right. both ostensibly for sharing political views that differ from the mainstream neoliberal ideology favored by the Silicon Valley elite. Now, Paul Joseph Watson is definitely somebody who is interesting, thought-provoking, and labeled fake news by the mainstream media. And last week, Google, another Alphabet Inc. company, briefly banned Salil Mehta, an adjunct professor at Columbia and Georgetown who teaches probability and data science, from using its service, freezing his accounts without providing an explanation. He was later allowed to return to the service. This also happened to Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson, if you've not listened to his two episodes in the forthcoming episode of Brett Weinstein on the Joe Rogan podcast, you've got to go listen to those. They're fantastic, very thought-provoking. He is he spoke out basically saying that he shouldn't have to go to jail for not using the right gender pronouns, and that shouldn't be added to the Human Rights Code because in Canada, because you shouldn't go to jail for accidentally calling a trans person who wants to be identified as a female, Mr. So, for instance, our former friend Maya had transitioned to female. I slipped up and said him all the time. And it was not because I disrespected Maya at the time. It was that... It just was a natural thing because I had known Maya so much. I had known Jeremiah so much longer.
Don't dead name, please.
Jeremiah. The conservative journalist, Lauren Southern. You throw my board out a window, I'm going to misgender you all I want. Conservative journalist Lauren Southern spoke out about YouTube's drive to stifle politically divergent journalists and commentators during an interview with the Daily Caller. Quote unquote, considering most, I think it would be insane to suggest there's not an active effort to censor conservative independent views. Considering most of Silicon Valley participates in the censorship of alleged hate speech, diversity and hiring inclusive committees and firing people at Google who disagree with them, mm-hmm. Their entire model is based around a far left outline. And Lauren Southern got kicked off of Patreon. I don't know the whole background of that. Us being offensive and pushing the boundaries as satirists or, you know, and trying to make jokes. I mean, you could take the joke that I just made about Harry. Harry's perfectly fine with it, but some people wouldn't be.
Yeah.
And we could get kicked off of Patreon, where we're currently bringing in $600 a month, and we really would have no recourse. But it's their platform; they can do with it what they want.
Right.
But it also is sad that they're trying to stifle free speech in tech.
Yeah. Well, Patreon probably wouldn't. Patreon's been very good with allowing free speech as long as you don't break their terms of service on mm-hmm. their platform. And they've talked about it, and they actually went through in detail, like, this is why we kicked Lauren Southern off. They went through, whether you agree with it or not, that's on your own opinion, not mine. But
what was their reasoning?
Oh, that she was not only advocating violence, but it was acting on it. And
is that true?
To me, it I could give them grounds to it, and I would also, if I was Patreon, I would feel I would not feel comfortable with it too.
Okay.
She was just way too close to the fire of it to be like, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that.
The difference between We Are Libertarians and Maya back in the day, where she's correct. You know,
yeah.
advocating well, that people get killed.
It was more like, yeah, advocating people to get killed, but like, I'm not gonna kill people per se, but I'm gonna advocate you giving me money to buy like guns, and I'm just gonna leave them in an area.
Yeah, is James Neese. James Neese reminds us that Lauren's sister is thick. THICC.
Her and May are thick.
They are.
For Patreon, you don't have to worry about that. I don't really see that much. But from like YouTube, like, yeah, they have gone after different content creators, just hitting their monetization scene for a long time now. This has been they started with the YouTube Heroes program. They went mm-hmm. getting the industry insiders or people who they think like them, like Anita Sarkeesian and that their ilk, from the losers of Gamergate getting promoted into YouTube to go after and censor videos.
Well, you look at PewDiePie. PewDiePie was their biggest star. They had a deal with him, mm-hmm. and then it was uncovered that he made a few anti-Semitic jokes that were really like fairly harmless if you heard the jokes,
right? Yeah.
And then his whole world came crashing down, and like I think everybody should kind of go watch those videos. And I think it's their platform, and that's why it's important. Like, well, that's why we have a website.
Yeah,
because I own the website.
Mm-hmm.
We own the email list. Please join our email list. If we were for some reason to ever get kicked off a platform, you still could get emails from us. Because you own email and you own your website, but you don't. You have to play by Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, mm-hmm. Snapchat. You have to play by their rules.
Yeah. That's why another reason, like, podcasters don't make as much of the YouTubers as you do, but the thing with the podcasters is that we're so distributed. If something went down, I'll just leave. I'll just go somewhere else. I control my site. I control my content. You can just because, like, if it came down to it, we can email people a link. Hey, this is where the site's at. This is where the video is. Use an RSS feed. You can find us almost anywhere.
Yeah.
With YouTube, that's where their video is, because they're also not paying to host that video. That's a lot of data that they have to pay for and chug into. You know, granted, YouTube is chugging money, but, you know, they're making it up somehow. The PewDiePie video, that was a hit piece from, was it Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, it was Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, it was the old media attacking the new media.
Yeah.
That's what that one was. That was someone taking something completely out of context to attack new media. And it's awful, and it's brought that that rising star down. And now YouTube, what do they live with? Jake Paul? Now, please don't Google or look up YouTube or Jake Paul. Do not feed into the Jake Paul storm. For the love of crap, let it. I'm sick and tired of Jake Paul.
Right. Apparently.
Oh, it's awful.
I prefer Kat's favorite YouTuber, which is somebody named Shane of Shane and Friends. Very.
I thought you were going to say Shane Dawson.
Shane Dawson. That's.
God! I wish the YT Watchdog would come back and tell Shane Dawson to shut the heck back up. Freaking hate Shane Dawson too.
He freaking hates Shane Dawson too. Let me translate that.
Watch it. Awful people on YouTube.
Yeah, no, I mean, I look at it and I go, how are we losing to these people? But it's only a matter of time before we take. So please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go on the website, wearelibertarians.com. It's all broken right now because I just upgraded our servers and I got to fix it and I haven't had time. But the dispatch on the right hand side is how you can get our email. And you can always find us there until, you know, MailChimp or ActiveCampaign gets the hint that we're libertarians and shuts it down. But I don't think that'll happen.
And to you YouTube red people out there, thank you for watching.
Yes. All right, so final thoughts for this episode. We've covered a lot, Harry. This has been fast-paced.
Mm-hmm. Super fast-paced.
Yes.
Super exciting, super fun. Even just to play around with the adage of the show and be able to get on here and actually just... It felt more of like a good, like... This whole episode to me actually felt like the little... PMs that Chris and I go back and forth to each other, like, hey, did you see this article? Did you see this real quick? And because it's really, really quick, because like Chris is very busy. When I'm at home, I'm very busy doing different projects. So we're like constantly just throwing stuff back to each other. So,
yeah, let us know what you thought of this. Please send an email to editor@. I am sensitive, but be a little gentle, constructive criticism from our audience. We always listen to that. We always try to improve the products that we put out. We want to hear from you. We want to give you what you want. That's why I think we're doing this second episode, is because I think you guys want that. And so we're trying to give you something different. And we'll tweak this as we go, but we want to know what you think. And if you've got articles that you want to send us, you can Facebook DM Harry or I, or send it to editor@. Price at WeareLibertarians.com. I'm Spangle at WeareLibertarians.com. Mm-hmm. Feel free to send us any articles that you see out there. There's a news story through the week that you think nobody's talking about and they need to talk about this, then we will certainly throw this into the queue here on our little news recap. So thank you so much for listening. Final thoughts, Harry?
That's pretty much it. There's a lot of different things I wish we could just probably step on. I'm probably going to do some Twitch live streaming to really jump into venting more about the YouTube stuff, because YouTube drama, hey, I'm not a YouTuber, but I love hearing and discussing YouTube drama.
Well, I will tell you this. We have a Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
What's our Twitch?
I want to say it's We Are Libertarians.
Google us.
Yeah, it's We Are Libertarians, instead of the R being A-R-E. It's just a straight up R.
Because of space, like on Twitter.
No, because James Neese has We Are Libertarians. I can't remember it.
That's right. James doesn't know what email he registered the original Twitch under. So
it's James.
James
Neese.
James, fix that. The video was scary. You should have seen the video. Make a video. Do a video recap of it, and we'll throw it up on Facebook and YouTube. I'd love to have Harry the blogger. Or the vlogger.
The Twitch vlogger.
I'd like to see a hairy vlog. I imagine everybody else would. All right. Thank you so much to Christy Avery. Christy Avery said she loved the episode. Christy is our only super fan. Actually, Stone Aldridge may be number two. Stone is a young college student who's poor as shit. And Stone actually went out and bought one of those pay here, buy here credit cards just so he could sign up for the nobility. So I want to give a he like got a reloadable card just so he could be a member of our of this live of this group, so he could watch the live stream. So shout out to both Christy and Stone, our only two super fans. We thank you guys so much. At the end of the show, we promise that we will always not only do better next time, but also that we read the people that are supporting us at the higher levels. And I just want to take a moment to thank Jason Doolittle, who's donating $100 a month. And at $25 a month, we've got Joey Tarner, Heidi Aldridge. And listen, guys, you know I'm going to read your name wrong. Christian Emmons, Dan Dunbar, Doug Stream, Chad Chad Weiss, Chris. Chris, I know your last name, but I'm not going to say it here because you didn't provide it to me, because I think that might be on purpose. Craig DaCosta, Chris Brokoff, Todd Singer. And at the $10 level, we've got a lot of great supporters like Joshua Sexton, Stone Aldridge, Rick Irvine, Zach Felker, Andre Myrick, James Zolads. And if I get your name wrong, please write in and tell me how to say it right so I don't embarrass myself here or you, because I do appreciate you donating and I don't want to be an ugly American and not pronounce, you know, names wrong. James Darling. I love the Darlings in the Andy Griffith Show. Great, great band. Eric Neff, Adam Herndon, Nick Economopoulos, Brian Travis, Chris Lane, Ryan Clancy, Ken Walker, Rebecca Cash, and David Anderson. You guys are so awesome to us, and we thank you so much for being a part of our donor group and for supporting us. And to everybody who donates at the $5 level and the $1 level, we appreciate that. And we appreciate everybody who listens. We appreciate all of you guys. We're averaging 9,000 an episode. We're growing by average 1,000 per month. I have no idea how that's happening. So please write in and tell me how you're finding us, because to be at around 2,000, 2,500 at election day and now be at 9,000, I didn't really do anything different. I don't know what happened. So I would like to know how you guys are finding us, because I want to just start doing more of that. So if you'd let me know, I would appreciate it. We just love talking to you guys, and that's been the best part, I think, of the last week, is that I get to have conversation with the people that are listening to our show, that are interacting. And so you're not only investing in us, you're also getting to communicate with us. And I think, like you said, the group is fun. Yeah. You know, not we have an open public Facebook group that you can get to on WeAreLibertarians.com called the Most Glorious Empire of We Are Libertarians. Feel free to join us there. We'd love to see you there and talk with you more. And you guys are just the best. I'm flattered. I'm not humbled yet. But how could Dear Leader be humbled, Harry? I don't know.
Much. I've got some ideas, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Well, I don't have time for that. So thank you for joining us. We need a tagline. You can't steal Greg's. You saw how he got with Kat when she stole his.
You know.
So is there some sort of black nerd phrase that you enjoy, Harry?
You ever feel you're on the spot for a catchphrase? Dub-dub-dub?
Rub-a-dub-dub, three.
No, I don't. Never had to make a catchphrase before.
We'll have to figure out a catchphrase. Yeah,
send one in that you want us to say.
Yeah.
You know, and if you send money, we'll probably definitely say that one.
Yeah, so thank you guys for watching, and we will see you on, we're not going to do better on Thursday. We might. That might be a good catchphrase.
Yeah.
We'll do better on Thursday.
We'll do better on Thursday.
I mean,
Greg will be back Thursday.
That's the catchphrase. And as always, we promise.
Greg will be back on Thursday. Yeah, it'd be great to, especially because there are a lot of inexpensive like warehouses and other things are around here that we can put something inside a room, lock it up, make it airtight. Well, not airtight, but soundproof it, sort of sound nice, and turn the microphones up to stink. And all you can really hear is heartbeats inside.
GoDaddy joins the resistance.
You know what? I got to get back on Wi-Fi. I forgot to get the articles on my pooter. So we're live now.
Yeah. Sorry, I know it's not.
Oh crap! You know what?
Thrilling.
I forgot to do, and like I just now realized it. Yeah, I forgot to put the stickers on my laptop that Christy gave me. Sorry, Christy.
Oh, really?
Sorry, Christy.
I may have one.
I have
wall
them.
Sticker.
Christy graciously enough gave me some stickers to put on my laptop.
Nice.
I have just been busy and I didn't get to doing that.
I cleaned my closet, organized. I got the I got a new storage unit, and so
I didn't get the one where Lacey gets a
It's too late. I had already done it. Christy called you a cuck.
Ah, damn.
You, sir, are a cuck.
I'm not a cuck. I do the cucking.
I am the one who cucks.
I'm the one who cucks.
All right. Messages. Okay. We're just about ready. If you want to monitor the, are you able to get internet without the Wi-Fi?
You mean through?
Do you have your pineapple? Where's your pineapple?
My pineapple still uses like internet. He has an internet connection. If that's what you're asking, then yeah.
Just if you can monitor the.
Wi-Fi. That one time I was sitting there working on it on the computer and you didn't allow me in it, I did like brute force myself into someone else's Wi-Fi here.
It's not that I didn't allow you. It's
didn't
that
allow me in.
I was waiting
in.
To do it for show content.
Didn't allow me in, so I had to like break it. I mean, I didn't break in.
Poor Harry.
I didn't break it. I'm not admitting a crime on. I found an open Wi-Fi. Someone had just had an open Wi-Fi that I was able to get in.
Harry, I wish you all had heard what Harry was up to before the show. I mean, he's on subreddits that I can't even talk about. It's wild, man.
It's one of my favorite subreddits, by the way.
Harry is up to wild shit. He's just like, there's something about Harry that every time he's on, I learn something new about Harry. And Jeremiah is concerned that you don't have your hat on. Did you get it relaxed? That's so glow.
I get so many other people when they see me without a hat on. They're like, "Where's your hat? Where's your hat?" Especially like my the Jack Skeleton hat,
right?
Or my Hufflepuff hat. And they're so used to seeing it. But it's going to be cold soon. I'll probably put it back on because I get cold very easily.
All right, you ready?
We should I wish the chat feed. I could keep it here on my computer. Maybe if I just
you can on your phone. It's probably easier on your phone.
But I want to use my. You make eat my data, eat my data plan. Wall does not pay for my data plan, and they want me to eat it up. Technically, I'm using it for the podcast. I just sent my cell phone.
Write it off on your taxes.
Yeah. Prove that I use it for work purposes.
I'm big on write-offs now. I'm a big write-off guy. Yeah. Big fan of write-offs.
Ooh, hold on. My RX-7's getting... My sock puppet account's getting likes.
All right. You ready? Where's my intro? I can't do the intro at 224 episodes without my intro.
Did you write a new intro for the different show?
For the better show?
Sorry. I was getting ready for SmackDown.
For SmackDown?
SmackDown.
I have not.
If yes.
All right, here we go. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. Think of us as the love child of National Review and Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us on Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. We're supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging at least $5 a month helps us grow. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. If you are new to the program, we catch up for the first 20 minutes or so and then deep dive into analyzing current events in society from a libertarian perspective. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is strong and offensive. And this is actually going to be a little bit different of an episode. So a week ago we put up the rewards on Patreon, and we put up goals, mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. Mittens is already up in my grill. Harry got to experiencing me beat my cat earlier. Did you not?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I was so pissed.
Savagely. Tearing up his pussy, but when I walked in.
Okay. I did not tear up my pussy.
Savagely.
But yes, we can't do a live stream without my cat's asshole right in the beginning. So we put up some goals, and on $250 for our Patreon rewards, our goal was to add a special bonus segment, and we blew through that in a day. And I thought that would take a couple months, to be honest. And at $500, I said we would, and there goes all my show notes. I'm going to kill you if you don't get out of my face. I'm so annoyed with my own cat. It's not even funny. Go lay down. All right. $500, we would add a second show, a second episode per week. And we hit that in about 4 days. And I was very, very excited, but also, Mittens, I swear to God, I am going to... I hate her. I hate her so much. And if $1,500, we were going to add a daily show. But I gotta be honest. After our conversation in the last episode, that is so much work and so much more than we're ready for at this point. So I made that $2,500. And at $1,500, we're going to build and rent our own studio. Yep. And the reason we need to do that is because of my Wi-Fi. This is in my apartment, and the internet that taps out at 18 megs. And the upload is 2. And so we want to get a better connection so we can live stream a lot better for the people that are in the nobility and up.
To be fair, that's not your Wi-Fi. That's your broadband connection, or what your apartment claims to be broad. Well, technically it is broadband. You are technically sending and receiving signals at the same time. Yeah. But it's as fast as it goes is 18. They think that's all you really need, so... You know.
Well, this is AT&T business. I'm very important. I called AT&T and I said, listen, do you know who I am? I run a successful media company, and I am I'm distracted because as people, you know, Harry Price, by the way, Mittens has me so messed up. We're just going to start this show over. Honestly, this is a big bag of dicks.
It's okay. You probably didn't hit the record button anyways.
Mittens, come with me. You're going up.